Support for KUAF comes from the Rogers Historical Museum, offering real objects, true stories, family fun, and lifelong learning. Current exhibits include Benton County Crime Stories, Building Rogers, and to cap it all off, an exhibit on hats and hat making, located in historic downtown Rogers, 621-1154, or rogersarkansas.com/museum for more information.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
The Reverend Michael Dowd, a popular author and itinerant preacher, will give a talk in Eureka Springs this weekend. As you'll hear, he began his religious journey in a conventional way, but his fundamentalism took a very cosmic turn. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich profiles Michael Dowd and asks him about his life and work in advance of his visit this weekend.
Reverend Michael Dowd is homeless. Seriously. He and his spouse, Connie Barlow, a science writer, travel from place to place, relying on the kindness of strangers in their quest to spread the word. The word is not Jesus or even God. The word is nature. Michael Dowd, born 1958, was raised Irish Roman Catholic, turned Pentecostal when he came of age, took formal training as a minister, raised a family, and pastored a number of churches through 1995. Around that time, he came across the writings of a Catholic priest by the name of Thomas Berry, a noted cultural historian and self-described eco-theologian.
And the first night that I was exposed to this, it was February 1st, 1988, and I literally had a life-changing experience. I had goosebumps up and down my arms and legs. I started to cry, and I realized I was going to spend the rest of my life popularizing this perspective. It just put everything together. And so I started literally waking up the next day. I think I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and for years I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I had two young kids at the time. I ended up finally having three kids, but at that time I had two young children. And so, you know, once they woke up around 7 o'clock in the morning, my day was pretty much filled being a father and being a pastor. So between 4 and 7 is when I studied cosmology, anthropology, biology, basically all the different sciences that had anything to do with evolution and physical evolution, biological evolution, and cultural evolution as our first evidence-based creation story. So ended up doing workshops and all. My first book was called Earth Spirit, a handbook for nurturing an ecological Christianity, and I wrote that in 1990. And then in 95, so I pastored for about 10 years, and then was invited to be the religious organizer for the National Environmental Trust in Washington, D.C. in 1995. So for the next 6 years, I did sustainability work. I worked for 1 year with Jewish rabbis, Catholic priests, Protestant clergy, and evangelical clergy on key environmental issues that were up in Congress. And then I did sustainability work helping neighbors for the next 5 years, helping neighbors come together and support each other in using less water, driving less, composting, recycling, all that sort of thing. And then met my now wife, Connie Barlow, in 2000. And we've been living on the road for the last 11 years, traveling all over North America. We've spoken to about 1,700 groups, I think, of all different kinds, Christian, non-Christian, atheist, humanist, New Age, the whole gamut. Basically showing the sacred side of science, the inspiring side of a purely evidential science-based worldview. And so we've been doing that for 11 years now.
Now, rather than teaching a biblical creation story, Dowd preaches the great story.
The three things that Connie and I end up speaking the most about are the three things that have been revealed through science, through evidence, that all religions and philosophies have had to deal with. Basically, our understanding of our past, our history, and what's today called big history, which is an academic discipline that came into being about 25 years ago. It's what Thomas Berry and Brian Swim called the universe story, or the epic of evolution, what Ed Wilson, E.O. Wilson at Harvard called the epic of evolution. It's basically physical evolution, biological evolution, and cultural evolution, the 13.7 billion year history of everyone and everything, told as a modern day creation story. So it also focuses not just on the scientific facts, but on the inspiration, the meaning, the interpretation, so that this story can help guide us into a just, healthy, and sustainably life-giving future. So that's big history. That's one of the major things we talk about. Then there's also human nature. What do we now know about human nature? Not what we believe, but what we know evidentially, what there's vast agreement about in the scientific community in terms of our inner nature, what's driving us and why, what's going on under the hood, as it were. And that's where the practical side, the practical and inspiring side of evolution, because a lot of people, when they hear the word evolution, they think of, Darwin, DNA, and dinosaurs. Well, this is is about why we struggle with, you know, certain things, why we're tempted by certain things, why living in integrity sometimes isn't easy in a modern world. And so our nature, our inner nature is the other thing we talk a lot about. And then finally, death. How, you know, how do we think about our own mortality? How do we think about just the existence of death in the universe, from the death of stars that create the periodic table of elements to the death of molecules, the death of mountains, you know, that create healthy soil and so on. So death at all scales of the universe. And what we now know, and again, I say no, we don't believe this, is that death at all scales of the universe is creative, it's generative, and it's thus no less sacred than life. And previous cultures couldn't have known that. So big history, human nature, and death are the three things that we end up speaking about a whole lot. And then much more recently, we've just started also talking a lot about climate change, but big history, human nature, and death.
And humans, although we now increasingly appear as a virus on the planet with a surging population, consuming resources and disturbing ecological homeostasis, Reverend Dowd says, we are part of the ebb and flow of the universe.
We are a biological organism, just like all other biological organisms. The only difference is that we now have self-reflexive consciousness. We now know that we know. And what we're starting to do is we're starting to know that we're doing tremendous damage to the larger body of life that we're a part of. But we didn't know that we were part of a body of life. I mean, no other species knows that they're part of a larger body of life. They just are pursuing their own self-interest, you know, as best they can in their environment. That's what organisms do. And so when you take a step back and look at who is the human in the universe process, you know, what is the human in the universe process? That we are the result of 13.7 billion years of unbroken creativity. So the universe as a whole has gone from simple atoms to more complex atoms, to molecules, to more complex molecules, to creatures, to more complex creatures, and then to societies and more complex societies. So we are literally the universe becoming aware of itself. We didn't come into the world. We grew out of it in the same way that apples grew out of an apple tree. So we are now awakening to, we are now starting to mature. I think that we are in the early stages of what will be seen historically as humanity's rite of passage and religion's rite of passage. We're growing up as a species, basically, and religions are growing up. And what I mean by growing up is we're going through the same two processes that virtually all individuals go through in their process of going from childhood through adolescence to adulthood. And the two main transformations that happen is that as children, we're guided by beliefs. There's no other way. I mean, children are sponges for beliefs. They'll believe anything that trusted elders tell them. But then as teenagers, we start questioning some of those beliefs. And then as healthy adults, we're guided not simply by what was spoon-fed to us as kids, but what we have evidence for, what matches our experience and the experience of others, including others outside our in-group. And now humanity is going through that. For virtually all of human history, we were guided by beliefs. There were no other way. And now we're starting to be guided by knowledge. And so that big transformation from belief-based to knowledge-based understandings of reality is a huge growing up. It's a maturing of our species and of religion. The other thing is that children are pretty much self-centered. They're, you know, the universe centers around you, or so you think. But then as teenagers, well, actually, as teenagers, they still think the universe centers around them. But then as healthy adults, we realize that, you know, our legacy, how we will be remembered by history, is determined by whether we're a contribution to others or not, what difference we make in the world, whether we're a blessing to others and to the future or not. And humanity is now going through that. For virtually all of human history, every culture thought that the world was made for us. And what we're now realizing is that we were made for the world, that our destiny, if we are to have a viable destiny, and there's no guarantee, we could destroy things, but if we are to have a viable destiny, a life-giving destiny in this larger body of life, it will be because we have shifted from thinking of ourselves primarily as consumers, where we think that our role is to consume the body of life of which we're a part, which is, of course, what cancer does. Cancer consumes the body of which it's a part, in large part because it thinks it's separate from the body. It starts to consume the body of which it's a part. But, of course, if cancer consumes enough of the body, it'll kill the body, but then it kills itself. And, you know, we call our society consumer society. Well, what does to consume mean? It means to eat up. Like, why are we eating up the planet? Is it because we're bad, rotten, evil, crummy, sinful people? Or is it because, like the cancer cell, we thought we were separate from it? We thought our true home was somewhere else after we died. We didn't know that we were it becoming conscious of itself, that we are nature uncovering its own nature. So that understanding is like being reconnected to billions of years of wisdom, of divine guidance, if you want to use religious language. It's connecting us to our true self, our natural self.
Now 54 years old, Reverend Dowd has preached his new theism, or religious naturalism, in major newspapers, magazines, and on several major network news programs. He's authored several books. His most recent, Thank God for Evolution, How the Marriage of Science and Religion Will Transform Your Life and Our World, lauded by 6 Nobel laureates. And his practice is to invite people of all faiths to passionately participate in the next great epoch in the emergence of consciousness and culture. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Reverend Michael Dowd will present his Great Story Traveling Ministry Monday evening, March 4th at 7 o'clock at the Eureka Unitarian Church located at 17 Elk Street. Admission is free. He will also speak at Sunday morning service, March 3rd at the Unitarian Church. To learn more, visit thankgodforevolution.com. You can also hear an extended interview with Michael on our website, ozarksatlarge.com.